couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys, the Movies. And this week, we're going to talk about how Kevin is wrong about Crank 2.
Oh, my God. No, we're not. I'll tell you what. If you didn't see my pull quote on the internet or didn't hear it on Clear Channel Radio.
No one reads your reviews.
People listen to it. You can't not listen to it sometimes when it's on the air because it's only like 30 seconds. Uh-huh. I said it's watching Crank 2 was like trying to survive on a steady diet of Red Bull and Skittles. It'll work for like 5 or 10 minutes, but then you just want to throw up.
Are you kidding me? I have been living off of Red Bull and Skittles for the last 4.5 years.
And you are 800 pounds.
That's not true.
I saw you on G4 the other day.
Oh, I hate you. All right. Yes. Well, while I call in a hit on Kevin, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can get us over at fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys the Movies in the iTunes store. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail, area code 614-388-8735.
Hey, can we take the explicit warning off of the Fat Guys of the Movies on iTunes? Because we don't do anything explicit anymore.
We have old shows that are explicit, so we have to tag
everything that's explicit.
Yeah, it tags
everything.
The show.
Can we archive those old shows and then? No. Well, this is stupid. See, I hate iTunes.
Here's why you don't want it to be explicit, because you've got your kids on this week. In our second segment, we're gonna have special guests Liam and Ben Carr.
Yes,
and. They're not going to do anything explicit, and you don't want people to think.
Yeah, they might.
That
well, they might
do
make
explicit
a,
stuff with your kids.
They might make a fart joke or something like that.
That's pretty explicit, so I think we should keep the warning up there.
That's like they have fart jokes on the Disney Channel. Do you know that?
I don't watch the Disney Channel.
Hannah Montana, you get fart jokes on Hannah Montana.
I don't watch Hannah Montana all the time.
Yeah, you do. I know you do. Anyways, did you already say how to get a hold of us?
Yes, I did. I just went through that.
Oh, okay. Did we get any voicemails lately?
I think we did. Responses? I just didn't listen to any of them.
You are so dedicated. Oh, my God.
313. No. We haven't gotten one in a long time.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
313 is the last one we got.
Oh, okay. That's a while ago.
That was a while ago.
Somebody call us. I'm getting to think that our fan base is
right
at me.
Also, I mean, I promise to everyone who might call us.
$20?
That
Neil will give you $20.
If you call us, I guarantee you I will listen to it this week. Like, I will make a point to listen to it.
Okay. I believe that when I hear it. Anywho, should we move on? And so, is there anything that you need to vent from last year? Do you have to tell me how awesome Crank 2 was for you?
No, I just think it was awesome, and that's all people need to know about it. Because I think at this point, after, what are we on, 112 shows, people understand that I am right and you are wrong. Yeah, so
you don't know what you're talking. Again, you're wrong.
So right. All of our listeners out there know that I'm right. Know that Kevin's wrong. Go see Crank 2.
And I said this to you off the air. America agrees with me. Not a whole lot of people saw Crank 2. So there.
I don't think that's true.
I think
it's absolutely true. They had a high per theater average.
Well, okay, but
that's
still
also not true. But
well, it didn't. It did. It like came in what like fifth or something in the box office. Something
something like that. It did okay. Whatever.
We'll talk about that in the third segment.
No sweat, man. No sweat.
Yeah. Yeah, sweat it, people. You just like the directors.
Let's talk about all the movies that I haven't seen this week. Because that's also kind of fun.
You see nothing.
Yeah.
Right. You're still just like riding high on the fact you saw Star Trek early.
Right. I'm still... once we review Star Trek, then I will go back to seeing movies. Oh, once you catch up to me.
How is that catching up to you?
Because I'm so far ahead, because I've seen Star Trek already.
Whatever. Okay, I'm going to see Star Trek next week, so there we go. Anywho, awesome. Let's start with the big movie. This is probably like the biggest release this week, I believe, is The Soloist, in which Jamie Foxx plays a musical genius, Nathaniel Ayers, who spent much of his life homeless on the streets of L.A. due to untreated schizophrenic condition.
Hi, this is Steve Lopez from the L.A. Times. I'm calling to see if Nathaniel Ayers attended your school.
He was the most gifted kid I've ever met.
I'm going to write a column about Nathaniel.
People heard that you were just playing with two strings. Some of them thought you might want something better to work with.
I can't cover that.
It's a gift.
What does he have? Schizophrenia?
Oh, you fly that plane?
No, I'm right here.
I'm not always so sure what's going on.
He has no idea what he's saying.
So, well, you're from Cleveland. He's from Cleveland, too. Are you schizophrenic as well?
Yeah. No, I'm not schizophrenic, but we did, Film School Rejects did go visit the set with Joe Wright.
What did they shoot? Did they shoot the Cleveland scenes in Cleveland?
Yeah, they
really
shot like his childhood,
that.
I guess. Like he grows up in Cleveland.
Seriously, like there's only like three like outdoor, like really shot little outdoor shots, and they could have shot him anywhere.
Right.
And then all the rest of his younger days are like all inside. Like,
I think it was more of a publicity thing. Like they wanted to shoot a little bit in Cleveland to like give the movie some roots.
Which
whatever.
Is cool. I mean, it's cool that they shot it in Cleveland. I commend that. I'm glad. It's just that because, you know, I'm from Ohio and I like Cleveland. It was just, I was kind of shocked.
And Cleveland doesn't get very many victories.
And it doesn't. That's true. But it also, but I was just sort of shocked that there wasn't that much of Cleveland they showed. Anyways, I call this kind of movie a mother-in-law movie because it's the kind of film that my mother-in-law would just absolutely love because it's all about the beauty of music and getting involved, and it's like 100% human interest and just getting into these characters and finding the difficulty and dealing with struggles. So she would love it. And there's a section of the American audience that's going to just eat this movie up. For me, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. It was boring. It was sappy. It was tedious and drawn out. Like I said, people are going to like this, not me. So
okay.
And it also,
I think
that's
a fair assessment.
Well, it kind of also has this thing where it's a little bit of a message of going, well, you know, if somebody doesn't really want to be treated from schizophrenia, they shouldn't be. And they kind of make things. That certain things work out where I'm just kind of like, how's that happening? And I don't know. It is both Jamie Foxx, Robert Downey Jr., great actors. And they both do fine performances here. I wouldn't say Jamie Foxx's finest performance. But it's just after about the fifth Oscar clip, I'm just like, okay, I get it. These guys can act. Okay, they can cry on command. Okay, he can get mad and throw things. You know what I mean? I was like, okay. And it was just a tedious movie. Not a whole lot happens. It's about this guy, Scott Lopez, who writes for the Los Angeles Times, who finds this street musician who's schizophrenic and homeless and everything. And he's kind of taken by his story, and he starts writing articles about him. And kind of brings him to national attention, and you know, that's all well and good, but just not a whole lot happens in it. It's just a lot of them just sort of like bouncing around a billiard table, not really doing a whole lot.
Is it like what was that movie with Samuel L. Jackson and Josh Hartnett?
It was like that, yeah. Resurrecting the Champ, but I like
Resurrecting the Champ. I was like reinventing the Champ, remembering the Champ.
Resurrecting the Champ was better in my opinion. I like that one.
Wow.
There. Yeah, I like that. Wow. That made one of my top 10 list that year. I like that movie. But it was...
I didn't think it was that great.
But. It's sort of like August Rush meets Resurrecting the Champ.
Okay.
So
I mean, August Rush was...
Terrible.
Pretty bad. And awful. Resurrecting the Champ was pretty bad. So
I loved Resurrecting
Based on that
the
comparison,
Champ.
This movie's probably pretty bad.
Well, yeah.
If I and had to take a wild stab in the dark.
It's also directed by Joe Wright, who did Pride and Prejudice and Atonement. And I'm not
Which
a big fan.
Which means it's pretty bad and probably long and boring.
It could... It's maybe about 20 minutes of story, so.
All right, well, I look forward to not seeing it.
My assessment, fat guy grade, it sucks. And I would have to say I probably would rather watch Crank 2 a second time.
Uh-oh. And with that, we'll be back.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We have taken Neil and sent him away, and we have special guests here in the magical studio in the sky. They are Liam Carr. Say hi, Liam.
Hi.
And Ben Carr. Say hi, Ben.
Hi.
How old are you, Liam?
7.
And how old are you, Ben?
5 and a half.
5 and a half. Well, Liam's 7 and a half, and I guess you could say that I'm 37 and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason we have the kids here is because this week it used to be known as Take Your Daughter to Work Day, but since some people complained and said that's somewhat sexist, which it is, we decided to have, they changed it to Take Your Child to Work Day. And since my job is to review movies, watch movies, write about movies, I took my kids to see a movie, and then we wrote reviews and we did little video segments, something completely unrelated, that are going to go up on YouTube and that sort of thing, but giving them an idea of what it's like to sort of be a member of the media. So, Liam, what movie did we go see today?
Earth.
Well, not today, but we saw this. We took them on Take Your Kid to Work Day. We saw Earth, and that is the film. It's about three animal families around the globe that are followed over the course of the year in this inaugural release of Disney Nature.
Of all the planets in our universe, there is only one that we know can support life. It's called Earth. Disney Nature Films proudly presents a BBC, Greenlight Media, and Discovery Channel production of an extraordinary motion picture event about 1 year in the life of the creatures who share our planet.
Let's first ask you, what were you expecting from a movie like this, Liam?
I was expecting it about some animals traveling around the world.
Okay, and Ben, what were you expecting?
I was expecting when there was three animals traveling all over the world where they live.
Okay, and so that's what it was about. It was about three families. There was a polar bear family, an elephant family, and a humpback whale family. Now, first of all, I'll ask you, Liam, did you like it, and would you recommend this to other people?
I would recommend this to other people, and this is a very good movie. They have a jumping shark, white shark, that catches a seal while it's jumping.
That was pretty cool. Was that pretty cool? Did you like that part, Ben?
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, of course, I thought you did. Would you recommend this movie, Ben, to other people?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And what other things did you like about it, Liam?
I liked stuff where there's a big thunderstorm. That was one of the...
I thought you said you didn't like that earlier.
Yeah. Well, I liked that also.
You liked it as well?
Yeah, because there was
okay.
And I liked this part where there was this elephant walking. You could see the whole globe. There was a little peek of the sun on the world.
Okay. Ben, what were parts that you liked in the movie?
Well, I liked it when the cubs were born.
When the polar bear cubs first came out of their cave?
Yes.
Okay, and what didn't you like about this movie? Liam, what parts about the movie bothered you or you didn't like or would cause you to not recommend it to somebody?
It feels all about killing.
There are some animals that got killed in the movie, huh?
Yeah.
Is that what you didn't like?
The only part that I liked about killing was the shark.
The shark. Yeah, so the seals, it's okay to eat the seals, right?
Yeah, but I have something else to say. This movie might be scared for little kids.
Little kids? Aren't you a little kid?
No!
Okay. Ben, what didn't you like about Earth?
When the dad polar bear was killed and he went too far.
Yeah, because he was trying to eat and the dad polar bear was having a tough time. So it was, in a way, it was kind of like it showed what really happens in nature, but sometimes that can be very sad, right, Liam?
Yeah.
Right, Ben?
Y-E-S.
Okay. What kind of people do you think would like this movie?
People who like animals.
Okay, Ben?
People who like animals.
All right. And since you're on the Fat Guys at the Movies, we give the grade. Would you say this rocked or kind of... You both liked it, right?
Yeah.
Bow, wow, wow.
Whatever that was. Would you say it was a kind of rocked or a rock?
Kind of rocked. Rocked. Bam, wow, wow.
All right, thank you. Well, now we're going to move on. We're going to talk a little bit about DVDs because there's a whole bunch of kids' DVDs that came out this week. And since it was Earth, the movie Earth, we had Earth Day. There was Handy Manny, Green Team, was out on DVD. Liam, what did you think of Handy Manny's Green Tea?
It was okay because I don't like Handy Manny that much, though it was about saving the environment and the world.
Okay, and that's what you're into right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Ben, did you like Handy Manny's Green Tea?
Yes.
Do you care to elaborate on that?
Well, I liked it when they recycled.
Okay, good for you. Good Earth citizens here, I guess. The other DVD that came out this week that I actually put on my DVD rundown that was a release, and I probably am not going to talk about it much in the DVD roundup later in the show with Neil, was iCarly. And I know you guys are huge iCarly fans. What are your thoughts on iCarly?
Pump up the fruit.
Pump up the fruit and pump up the pants?
Yeah.
Yeah. For those who are not avid iCarly watchers, you don't know what that means. Ben, do you like iCarly? Okay, yes or no?
Y-E-S.
Okay, what's the appeal of iCarly? It's the second half of the first season that's out on DVD, but what's the appeal? Why do you guys like it?
Because it's about teenagers who have a web show called iCarly, and they actually have a real web show on the internet.
Is it kind of like fat guys having a radio show called Fat Guys at the Movies?
Yes, but you already have one.
Yeah, but aren't we are Neil and I as cool as iCarly and Sam? Mm. Oh, do you have to think about that?
Kind of.
Ben, what's the appeal? Why do you like iCarly?
Because they have a producer named Freddie.
Okay, and you think Freddie's funny?
Yeah, and Sam blew up Freddie's pants.
Okay, if you don't know anything about the show, that sounds kind of odd. But the other one, one more. What?
And when Sam slowly eats so much that she doesn't even give up, but she's eating so fast, like no, it was before your eyes.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Another one we want to talk about, Scooby-Doo and the Samurai Sword. That came out a couple weeks ago, but they were a little slow in getting that to us. What did you think of Scooby-Doo and the Samurai Sword, Liam?
Hiya!
Okay, real English words, please.
Cool.
And Ben? Don't even do the hiya. What did you think of it?
Cool.
Cool. Let's talk about movies that are in the theater right now. Would you consider Monsters vs. Aliens the best one in the theater right now, Liam?
Wait, what are the other choices?
Well, you got Hannah Montana. If, I mean, we're talking kids' movies. You got Hannah Montana the movie. You got Dragon Ball Evolution, 17 again. What's the best one in the movie theaters right now?
Dragon Ball Evolution.
You're just putting Dragon Ball Evolution over Monsters vs. Aliens? Shame on you. Okay, Ben, what do you think is the best movie out in theaters right now? You can't say Dragon Ball Evolution because you fell asleep in that movie.
Hannah Montana the movie.
Hannah Montana the movie is the best. Do you like Hannah? What's better, Hannah Montana the TV show or iCarly?
iCarly.
iCarly. Well, you know what's coming out next week? What?
Okay. I like Hannah Montana because it is funny.
Okay. Is that it? Just funny?
Yeah.
Do you agree, Liam?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, the one other we want to talk about, there's a DVD going to be coming out next week, but you guys probably are not going to be on the show, so let's talk about it right now. Hotel for Dogs is coming out. What do you think of that movie?
Oh, that was an awesome movie. Dogs running in the streets, taking care, toilet seats, full bags full of poop.
The complete recipe for a perfect movie. Dogs running in the street, toilet seats, and piles of dog poop.
Yeah.
All right. Ben, what are you looking forward to about Hotel for Dogs? Toilet seats and dog poop?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you have it. That is our take your child to work day segment with Liam Carr and Ben Carr, ages 7 and 5, respectively. We're going to get Neil back in the next segment because sadly, I need some immaturity, and I guess I have to deal with somebody less mature than you. So say goodbye to everybody. That was a compliment, dude.
Oh, bye.
All right, say bye, Ben.
Bye.
All right, until next time, next year when I take you guys to a movie during school.
hard road. 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And we're back on Fat Guys the Movies, and now that we're done with the Take Your Kids to Work Day segment, as I like to call it,
yeah,
we're moving on to a few more reviews from this week, which, you know, I don't really understand why you didn't have the kids review Obsessed with Ali Larter.
Well,
I feel like that is the perfect kid movie of the week.
They are crazy Beyonce fans, and they think she's got such a nice badonkadonk.
Oh, Beyonce.
Yeah. But
she's in this?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Not only have you not seen the movies, apparently you're not even watching the trailers.
Oh, maybe I did see the trailer for this.
Yeah. It's Beyonce. Yeah.
Okay.
Beyonce plays the Ann Archer character, and Ali Larter plays the Glenn Close character, a much younger, hotter Glenn Close character.
Okay.
And then
so
there's
essentially,
like, there's a black Michael Douglas in there, apparently.
Essentially, Ali Larter is obsessed with Beyonce's husband at work. Catfight, table two, rawr.
Rawr.
Roll clip.
Why didn't you call me back today?
We had a temper. She didn't leave a number.
Is she pretty?
Pretty plain.
It is such a pleasure to meet you, Mrs. Charles.
Hi. You said she was plain. That girl may be a lot of things, but she ain't plain.
I wouldn't know. I only have eyes for you. A lot of these single gals see the workplace as their hunting ground. And I think this one has got you in her crosshairs.
So this is one that, big surprise, Screen Gems chose not to screen for anybody in the press. Not a big surprise. I don't think Screen Gems...
Why would they have to? With the drawing power of Beyonce's badonkadonk?
Badonkadonk.
Why would you need to screen this for the press?
They could have just called this Obsessed with Beyonce's Badonkadonk.
Yeah.
Or could we call it...
I believe that I'm a marketing master.
Could they call it...
It should not be questioned.
I think they should call her Beyonkadonk. Hmm.
I think you're stretching it a little.
Yeah. Like her jeans?
But nice try, though.
Anywho, they didn't show
you
this.
You know
what?
We need one of those sound effects. It's like wah, 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 for every time you say something.
Yeah. All right. That'd well, we could do that. I'll get
so
right on
this
that.
One. This one then gets a preemptive suck because they didn't show it to the press. So
a big, hairy, smelly preemptive suck because they didn't show it to the press. Screen Gems. I think the last Screen Gems movie they actually screened for anybody. You know what? Actually, I think they didn't. They screen Fired Up was a Screen Gems movie, wasn't it?
Maybe.
They actually screened that one. But before that, I don't think they screened anything since...
Didn't they do Resident Evil?
Yeah. Yeah, they did
Resident
Evil.
Yeah, they screened that one.
Every now and then they'll throw them in. And I think they did The Covenant, that Rennie Harlan movie. That really awful movie.
So, oh, right. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, you know what? You know what? I think they also did Quarantine. So occasionally they'll screen stuff. But Screen Gems, if they have any sort of inkling that the press is going to not like it, they just... cut them off, and they did that for Obsessed. They did that for Rona Mitra movie, that vampire. What is Underworld?
Oh, Underworld.
Yeah,
I see.
So there you go.
Well, hey, take that, Screen Gems.
Preemptive.
We give
suck.
Your movie a preemptive suck.
Yeah. I was gonna take the kids to see this instead of Earth, but it wasn't open.
How was Earth, by the way?
Since
it came out this week.
If you really want to know, Neil, you don't listen to the show, but listen to the second segment. You'll hear our review of Earth. But it came out on Earth Day, so I took my kids on Take Your Kid to Work Day.
Oh, that's right. You guys did that in the segment
while
I wasn't around.
I don't know, making a sandwich or something.
I was making a sandwich. It was good.
Was it delicious? Was it delicious like Chick-fil-A?
Maybe, yeah. But I would not plan a terrorist attack against Chick-fil-A because it's delicious.
Speaking of delicious, let's talk about Channing Tatum for a minute.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
We're going to talk about the movie Fighting, which is released by Rogue Pictures, again, someplace that's notorious for limiting its press screenings, in which Channing Tatum fights a lot, and we didn't see this one either.
You like to fight?
If I have to.
I can make you $5,000. Got you interested, huh?
So what, they got rules?
Yeah, you lose, you get nothing. Go make some money.
How come I never heard of you?
No offense, but I've never heard of you either.
Looks like Harvey's got a winner.
It's the real thing.
I'm Sean.
Zulai.
Like Zulai?
Yeah.
Make sure she gets home okay.
Thank you, Sean.
Oh, you called me Sean.
Good night.
So what are your thoughts on Channing Tatum fighting?
I don't know, man. I mean, from what I hear, and they screened this here in Austin this week. I just didn't go. From what I hear, it's actually better than what people think. But combine that with the fact that it's anyone with half a brain thinks this movie is going to be awful. It's better than awful.
That's like going in and getting a root canal, and they're like, how was it? I'm like, well, I was dreading it for months, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It still was painful and awful and a terrible experience, but it wasn't as bad as a kidney stone.
But you know what? Channing Tatum is not a good actor. So
no, he's not. I don't think anyone ever accused him of it. Oh, no. You know what somebody did? When I was at Comic-Con last year, me and Film School Rejects Robert Fury were sitting in on the G.I. Joe panel. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about, and people say this about every movie, where they're like, oh, these were our first choices. There was nobody else on that. They were at the top of the list. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Channing Tatum is not on the top of any list unless it's lists of bad actors. You know, this is not like them saying, you know, when we did Angels and Demons, Tom Hanks was on the top of the list to get his Robert Langdon, or, you know, any number of things. Channing Tatum is on nobody's shortlist.
I see.
Do you agree?
He's not that good, but he's also marketable. I'll give him that.
Name the last movie he was in that did well.
Never Back Down. Wasn't he in that?
No, he wasn't. That was the other movie about fighting. He was in the first Step Up. That was the first one, and I think that
did well. It did well with the 17 to 19 year old girl demographic.
Yeah. But in this one, he fights instead of dances.
Which is, you know what? This reminds me a little bit, though, of Never Back Down and, like, the Step Up type movies. Like, I have a feeling that this will catch that demographic and do decent money.
Dude, Never Back Down bombed. That was the one that they...
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did. They literally had to pull quotes from IMDb users to get...
Yeah, but just because critics didn't like it didn't mean it didn't...
It didn't do well. Never Back Down didn't do well at all.
Made $41 million worldwide.
Did it? Worldwide.
For a movie that probably cost like 10 bucks to make.
Whatever. It was a terrible...
Production movie. Budget, $20 million. Mm. Worldwide gross, 41. It doubled its production budget. I'm telling you, it barely that's squeaked. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Anywho, fighting.
You're arguing. Right now you're saying you don't know to numbers.
Okay, that's cool. No, I mean, it's...
Anyways.
But see, $41 million worldwide gross is not a blockbuster. That's okay.
Yeah, but it's success. Success is, man...
How much did it make domestically?
24.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, it was profitable.
It did okay.
I really don't think you're going to see Never Back Down Part 2 come to the theaters. Or Never 2 Back Down, like the numeral 2. That's going to be straight to DVD, man.
No, but they could do a Never Back Down 3 and replace the E's in Never with 3's.
Ooh, they could do that.
And now, it would be like Tron, T-R-2-N.
I would love to see Channing Tatum do a movie with Vin Diesel just to watch him get the crap beat out of him.
That could be fun.
That would be awesome.
I'd be down for that.
I'd watch that. Anywho.
So, speaking of box office.
Yes.
Let's move on to the box office segment. Never Back Down, or
Never Back Down came
Fighting.
Out last year, dude. You are so off on your movies.
Fighting gets, what are we giving Fighting?
Fighting? Oh, that gets a preemptive suck.
I can't give it a preemptive suck because I skipped it.
You get a preemptive suck because you
did. I will accept my preemptive suck as a man.
The box office, and speaking of somebody who's barely a man, box office was huge for 17 again, which I didn't like, but it actually got... I was actually kind of shocked at how good of reviews it got.
It was kind of like your root canal analogy from before. It was, you know, better than everybody thought it would be.
Yeah, but I mean, it has a relatively positive review. And actually, this is something that was brought up. Cole Bias from Film School Rejects hated State of Play, which came in number 2, a far distant number 2. And he was basically asking why it had such a high like tomato meter score when a lot of critics are kind of like, yeah, it was okay. What happens is the way tomato meter works, it basically, it's an up or down. It's either positive or negative. It measures your general impression. It doesn't measure level of passion. So like, the greatest movie of the year is reflected the same way in the tomato meter as a movie that you're just like, well, it was okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a little bit more to his argument there.
Yeah,
which there were a lot of print critics like apologizing for the movie.
I don't know about that.
Like they were like, oh, They're like, oh, the movie is really bad, but the ending totally wins.
Yeah. Well, I think... Well,
oh, considering... the other way. I'm sorry. He's signaling to me that it was the other way around.
Yeah.
That the movie was really good and the ending was terrible.
Yeah, but that's a fair thing to say. You can sit there and say, hey, I liked... You know, like, did you ever watch the TV show Life on Mars? Which was an okay show. The worst ending on television ever in the history of television. But it was still a decent show. You know, you could like the show and hate the ending. You know, it's sort of like me. You know, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Sure, man. Whatever you say. So who's going to finish first at the box office this weekend?
This weekend, I'm pretty much going to say Soloist. I think it's got a drawing power, the star power, and it's really the only... I think it's going to have... It's going to reach an audience. Jamie Foxx has got a big audience out there. Robert Downey Jr. has got a big audience out there. I think Jamie Foxx has a bigger audience than Beyonce, even though her butt is bigger than his.
Are you ready for this prediction?
Okay.
17 again.
You think 17 again? You know what?
Here's why. The Soloist is only in 1,800 theaters.
Oh, is it only?
It is the fourth biggest release of the weekend.
Oh,
Obsessed is opening wider. Fighting is opening wider. And Earth opened wider. So I think 17 again in a horse race on a terrible weekend. Like, it's just, I mean, winner takes $12 million.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think the Soloist has a chance. I think it's going to be a neck and neck horse race, but that could totally happen. But you're right. It's got to drop 50%. It's going to, you know, 17 again is going to be lucky to make $12 or $13 million. And it's just whether the other ones, I think Fighting's going to tank. I don't think anyone's going to care about that. I think Obsessed is going to do okay. But the Soloist, it's I think the one that has the most buzz.
Yeah. I mean, they're Paramount's actually trying to get out there and sell it. Yeah. So, but
and like
know,
I
we'll
said,
see.
There are people who are going to just love this movie. It's just not for me.
Right. So, I understand.
Yeah.
Anywho, moving on. What else were we going to talk about in the last minute of this segment?
Nothing, because you didn't give any input. Not only did you not see movies, you didn't put any input at all on the show notes.
Hey, I wanted some breaking news.
Quick,
that's interesting.
Quick, 30 seconds.
David Slade, the guy who did 30 Days of Night, is going to direct the third Twilight movie, which gives hope to the third Twilight movie.
Maybe
the second one's probably going to suck, but that third one might be awesome.
Maybe the vampires might actually kill somebody and bite somebody. There might be just a tad bit of blood.
Well,
you
know what?
Excited to hear that.
David Slade made the coolest vampire movie I've seen in a long time.
Yeah,
so
but you don't see vampire movies. You like your top-notch vampire movie is like, you know, I don't know, Beetlejuice.
30 Days of Night.
Yeah, whatever.
And with that, time to go to break. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys in the Movies. I forgot what segment we were doing there for a second.
Well, we are back. You could have said we're back.
We are back. We are wrapping you up. It is time for our world-famous final segment, which includes the universally known DVD Roundup.
With the awesome sound effects.
With our awesome high-class sound effects that we've been using for 112 episodes now.
That's right.
Anyways, I guess I'll start this week because I got the short list once again. I don't have the, gigantic roll call of DVDs that Kevin has.
I just like to, when I get sent DVDs, I like to spotlight them if I think they're worth it.
It's because you're a, never mind.
I am. I do not deny it.
Moving on.
You sound like somebody who's like talking in front of like kids. You're like, you're a ha ha ha.
Sorry. I don't know if your kids are still in the room or not or what.
No, I sent them to bed a long time ago.
But my picks are easy ones. I've got The Wrestler, which is an obvious choice this week.
Because Marissa Tomei was naked in it, like, through half the movie.
I don't see any other reason why you would need to get this.
Yeah.
Frost Nixon, because I thought it was actually a really good, really, really good movie.
Yeah.
Nice little historical drama. It's a Ron Howard movie. How can you go wrong?
Did you ever see The Missing?
No.
Yeah.
Maybe I should.
Yeah. No. Ron Howard went wrong in that one.
Fair enough. Everybody has skeletons in their closet.
Yes.
And then Caprica, which there's a few things that I liked about Caprica, if I might say so.
Sure.
One is the fact that I forgot.
Wow.
There's nudity in it, which is something new to the Battlestar Galactica.
Is it good nudity
world?
Or is it like it's Seth Rogen R-rated comedy nudity?
It's really good nudity. And I thought it was really engaging. Can't wait to see the show now. As a Battlestar Galactica geek, it was great to see like the birth of a Cylon.
And
in this movie, he pretty much you see the first incarnation of a Cylon, which is very cool.
Sort of the first one, because you know it happened before it'll happen again, whole thing.
Yeah, all that crap. Yeah. Whatever, man. Don't spoil the ending for the people who haven't seen Battlestar Galactica.
It's not spoil the ending. They've been talking never it's happened before, it'll happen again since the third season, dude.
Yeah, but so?
So?
Some people, you know, don't spoil it for the people that are still on season two.
Oh, why don't
all five of them.
Why don't you go frack yourself?
Wow. Oh man, we should start using that word more often.
Yeah. That's totally acceptable.
So if you like Battlestar Galactica, you're going to dig on Caprica.
Yes.
It's good stuff.
I'm looking forward to it. So, here's the ones that are my DVD picks. I got to give just a little nod to Notorious, even though it wasn't the greatest movie.
Notorious. Sorry, I just wanted to do that on the show.
Because you know what? Any huge fat guy that can get a movie made out of him, I respect.
He also got a lot of cash money and hoes.
And he got killed.
So, I mean, any fat guy that can get a lot of cash money hoes... is cool in our book.
But it's on a double disc Blu-ray. I mean, it's got like that unrated cut and everything like that. And it's worth seeing for the girl who plays Little Kim. Because she is hot. Way hotter than Little Kim, who looks like she got run over by a truck. Or at least her face does.
Wow.
Have you seen Little Kim lately? It's scary.
I thought she was in jail.
No, she's on Dancing with the Stars, man. So I also have to give another inappropriate movie for kids would be Ron White, Behavioral Problems, which, you know, if you like Ron White, if you like that blue collar comedy, it is funny, funny, funny. And actually, the best stuff is on the special features, Eddie names it the shit that didn't make the cut. And of course, we had to bleep that out. But you can figure out what Ron White called it.
Indeed.
Now here's the kids stuff. iCarly, my kids mentioned it on the earlier segment. iCarly is a TV show on Nickelodeon. It's sort of like, it's a little bit older. It's for a little bit older audience than like the Disney Channel shows, but it's still, it's actually a funny show. iCarly's a good show.
I get
it.
Oh no, I'm with you.
Yeah. And then Wolverine and the X-Men, they kind of released the first three episodes of that cartoon series. So, you know, to kind of, seed the movie audience for next week.
Marketing.
Yeah, there you go. Woohoo! Because that's Lionsgate and Fox is releasing the movie. So Lionsgate's like, we want some of that money.
Right.
And then also got to give a little shout out for more kids stuff. Tiny Toons Volume 1 or Season 1 Volume 2 is out. So the Tiny Toons are great. The only time I've ever seen like cartoon characters put as kids that was actually really, really good. And
I see.
That's Tiny Toons. And then Freakazoid. Steven Spielberg presents.
I love Tiny Toons, man.
Yeah.
I'd buy that. It's an awesome show.
Tiny Toons rocks.
Can I just mention that I got Bugs Bunny the movie?
So did I.
Today on DVD.
I can't wait to watch it.
And I almost wet myself. It was awesome.
Oh, that just made it gross.
I don't know what was more exciting, that or Dexter Season 2 on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
We'll talk. Those are for later weeks.
Okay. We'll talk about that later. But anyways, the stinker, you want to take this first one since...
Into the Blue 2. I couldn't even get all the way through it. And
you didn't?
It has gratuitous bikinis and gratuitous nudity. I couldn't even get to the end of it. It's a tragedy in cinema.
I made it through the whole thing. And you told me how terrible it was. And I'm like, oh, Neil doesn't. And I'm watching. I'm like, oh no. For one time in the universe, Neil's right.
Yeah.
It was terrible. And then I got to say, the other stinker, A Galaxy Far, Far Away. I actually went out of my way to
watch that yet.
It is the most clueless documentary about Star Wars people. It wants to be Trekkies, but it's like mean-spirited and stupid.
Nice.
So there you go.
Cool, man. Well, review wrap-up time. We had The Soloist, which Kevin saw and said
it sucked, but a lot of people probably like it.
Yeah, and then Obsessed and Fighting both get preemptive sucks from us, based on lack of screeningness.
Yes.
Earth got, what did it get?
It got a kind of rocks.
Got a kind of rocks.
Kids like it.
Next week, we're talking Wolverine, we're talking Battle for Terra, and Ghost of Girlfriend's Past. Oh my. In the meantime, if you'd like to get a hold of us.
Lions and tigers and bears.
In the meantime, if you'd like to get a hold of us, just head over to fatguysandmovies.com. That should serve you. Quite well. And remember, call us.
Holla.